happy holidays from everyone at GoldSeek.com Radio. Today's special guest, Peter Eliades from Stock Market Cycles. Welcome back.
Thank you, Chris. I appreciate it.
I wonder if you could tell people your outlook on the equities markets. You know, it's been an interesting several years here, but once again, the market's showing incredible resiliency. Tell people what you see in the sector, please.
You know, I don't write my newsletter on a regular basis anymore, but what I do is I publish online reports, and we've attempted this year to try and publish online reports at in time zones where we thought, especially this year, that we where the market was vulnerable. We've been fairly successful. Our last last report we wrote a week ago Friday and told people that once again we were cautious about the market. There's a real long-term channel. In fact, there are several channels, Chris, that go back, some of them to 2009 and some of them back to late 2011. And both the S&P and the Dow have been knocking around the top of those channels off and on during the year. Now, because they're rising channels, even if you hit the top of that channel, you have no guarantee that you have a final top because the channel's rising. And as you know, you can come pull back from it 3, 5, 6, 7, even 10%, go back up to the top of the channel again. By that time, it's higher than it was before. So that's the kind of action that we've seen most of this year. We've seen the S&P, particularly the S&P that I follow very closely, going up to the channel, pulling back, having these small pullbacks, and then going up to the channel again. Right now, we are at the top of the channel once again. So whenever that happens, what I tell my people is I don't think the final very important high is necessarily in yet, but every time you hit the top of that channel line, because I do believe we are so incredibly overvalued, and we might discuss that in a moment too, but anytime we hit the top of that channel, that should be treated as potentially a very important market top. As I said, I don't think it's going to be the final top, but everyone should be treated as if it could be.
Overvaluation. I mean, we're certainly seeing signs of that cropping up. PEs are way beyond the typical. You might even say that it's reminiscent of circa 1999-2000. Some of our guests here on the show have commented that they think that it's worse, the lead-up to the dot-com implosion. Do you see any parallels?
Absolutely. I mean, I don't think we have a parallel in the over-the-counter market because specifically at that time, it was just a craze that had gone on incredibly driving most of these tech stocks to incredible valuations. We see a glint of that in the tech stocks now, but what's happened is we see it in the overall market. And I try not to explain things in terms of fundamentals, Chris, because I'm very much a technician and I believe very much in cycle analysis. Things that I'm watching in terms of the market now, in terms of sentiment, carelessness, people thinking that there's absolutely no vulnerability whatsoever. There's nothing to worry about. The Federal Reserve will take care of them. They'll bail them out if there are any problems. Yes, indeed, there are very close parallels. In fact, one can argue that the 2000 period was probably the only other time that was equally overvalued as the numbers that we see now. I don't look so much at PE ratios because they can be obscured by stocks that are reporting losses or earnings can be so volatile, Chris. What I look at, one of the most important things I look at is dividend yield. Now, the argument has been that the dividend yield is so low because interest rates are so low and people are forced to go into the market to be speculative because there's no safe return that one can, let's say, a retirement-type person can get. It used to be you could get at least 4, 5, and 6% in terms of safe treasury bills. Now that's out the window. So people are really being forced by artificially low interest rates to take that speculation and put their money in the market because it's the only hope they have of getting a return better than 2 or 3%. Ultimately, the price is going to be paid for that. And I can't promise anyone it's going to happen in the next few weeks, but I can almost promise people that it will happen in the next 6 to 8 months. Whether it extends out that long, I can't be sure. But there's going to be a very dear price to be paid.
A growing cadre of folks certainly share your sentiments with regard to the overextended nature of this advance. Do you see something on the horizon that might mirror what we saw in 2008, 2009? Could this be worse, or would it just be a road bump on the way to, I think it was Cadillac who wrote 24,000 Dow 20 years ago?
No, absolutely not. In terms of 24,000 Dow, I do not see something like that, because of the fact that we're so overvalued right now at current levels. Listen, you and I know, Chris, that anything can happen in the stock market. You come up with a scenario that you think it has no chance in the world of occurring, and lo and behold, you turn around 6 months later and say, wow, that was, look what happened. So anything can happen in the markets, but what we, the only thing we can base our judgments on is market history. And we have a long history of the stock market, not just the Dow, which goes back about 115, 120 years now, but market indexes, fortunately, because of the Foundation for the Study of Cycles, they provide us with United States security prices going all the way back to the late 1700s. So we know how prices have performed. We know what overvaluation is. And the thing that I look at, as I started to say, is dividend yield, because when push comes to shove, unless you're getting a real return in terms of dividends on your stock, then all the rest could be smoke and mirrors. When they give you a dividend, when a company gives you a dividend, that's in your pocket and they can never take it away from you. And that's where true valuation is. And when you see stock market indexes like the Dow and the S&P 500 reaching a dividend yield of at least 4%, but perhaps more likely 5%, 6%, and 7%, which generally happens at important bear market bottoms, then you can be confident that we're looking at a market that has finally become undervalued and you see some value in. Now, mind you, to get from where we are now, which is a dividend yield under 2%, to try to get to one of 4%, 5%, and 6%, you can see that talks about at least a market decline of 50 and 60, 66 and two-thirds, which would be two-thirds of a withdrawal from the current levels of stock prices. And that's an incredibly bad thing. And that takes into consideration the fact that we still have the current number of dividends. You can rest assured that if stock prices start coming down really hard and there's a 50, 60, 70% decline, that those dividend yields will go down significantly too. And so that allows for an even greater decline. So if someone put my back to the wall and said, well, how far do you think the ultimate decline will be? I think it's going to be every bit as bad as the 2007-09 decline, which was between 50 and 60% for most indexes. But I think there's a real chance, Chris, that we see a 1929 to 1932 type decline, which I think will surprise a lot of people.
It would catch most of these investors off guard, particularly when we read that many of those participating in this latest, you know, advance have far less experience under their belts than the last time around, the last big rallies. A little green and not prepared for what could happen, for those contingencies in the market. As you say, everyone convinced the Fed will come to the rescue and save the day. Another sector, though, that our listeners are keen to hear your thoughts on, precious metal stocks have reached low in many cases beyond that of 2000 and 2003, over a decade. Do you see any signs of a nadir in the market?
I don't have any strong feelings on the precious metals, although I do feel as if they are very much oversold. I don't think there's any question about that. So I think we could see a rally at any time and perhaps a surprisingly strong one. The problem that I have with the precious metals, though, is because I'm in the deflationist camp, Chris, is I think if truly we are going to face a deflation, which is not really helpful to almost anyone, real estate will be going down, stock prices will be going down, precious metals may still be going down, depending on at what level they start from. I can't look at the precious metals currently and say, I think there's a great opportunity for a rally that's going to last a year or 2 years. I don't see that happening.
Any parting comments for our listeners today?
Just to be careful, because the sentiment numbers that we've read recently, a firm like Investors Intelligence, which has been around for over 50 years now, and the percentage of bears has been well under 15% for at least the last couple of months, and that doesn't guarantee a market top, but it tells you that you should be in the minority of those that are indeed watching for the possibility of a more significant market decline than almost anyone expects. I would tell people perhaps the most intelligent way of going about things now, Chris, would be, and I did this at the other market tops too in 2000 and 2007. I think what people would be well advised to do if they are in a stock portfolio is to look at their stocks and say, look, I hold XYZ stock at, let's say, a level of 50. I'm willing to ride it down 10% from here, but if it goes down more than that, I'm getting out. If you do that with your whole portfolio and put stop losses in, but make them trailing stop losses, the nice thing about that is if you're wrong about the vulnerability in the market, let's say that stock goes from 50 to 60, when it gets up to 60, then you adjust your stop underneath it for 10% under that. If you do that with all your stocks, you're never going to lose more than 10% in your overall portfolio, and you're ready to handle a market decline of significance. Now, obviously, the downside of that is people will say, well, you know, I had a stock at 50. I put the stop in at 45. They went down to 44.5, then went straight up to 60. It's not a risk-free procedure, but it's a procedure that will virtually assure you that you're not going to suffer a big loss in the market, and that's the big thing we have to be cautious of here.
It's excellent advice. You know, as Warren Buffett regularly points out, rule number one, don't lose capital. Rule number two, please refer to rule number one. And you're talking about protecting not only capital, but the wonderful profits that people have procured over this rally. Most important aspect of investing is protecting what you have and then letting your profits and winners run while not exposing too much of those profits. And we're going to look forward to having you back on the show.
It's nice to talk to you again, Chris. And people, as I said, it is online. So if they go to stockmarketcycles.com, they can find the latest report there.